Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned in to the finest gospel station on the internet, the Love Lift Me Up Show. Hallelujah. Giving Jesus all the praise. Featuring gospel artists, authors, teachers, writers, actresses, actors, educators, and community leaders. Let's give it up for the host of the show, Dr. Elfrida Love, and the star of the show, the one and only Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to your name.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Love Lift Jesus Ministry, also known as the AlfridaLoveShow.com. Where Jesus shines with love. I'm your host, Dr. Alfreda Love, and this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. I have many of my co-hosts, and I have many individuals who are on the line. Thank you so much for tuning in at this particular time. We have a very, very special guest today. But first, let us read Psalm 136, numbers 1 through 9. Excuse me. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. And the moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know I'm a little bit under the weather, so if my voice go in and out, that's the reason, and I have a major, major headache. But God is still good, and he's worthy to be praised, and we are going to get through this particular ministry, this particular show. Amen? Amen. And so we're going to pray unto God, and then after we pray, we're going to welcome Ms. Julian Bullock to the Love of Jesus Ministry. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us as we were able to wake up this morning, Lord, and you started us on our way. We ask you, Heavenly Father, would you continue to bless those who are in hospitals, bless those who are coming out of the hospitals, and bless those who are thinking about going into the hospitals. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the sunshine, Lord. We thank you for the rain. We thank you for the cold weather, Lord. And we ask, would you continue to help us, Lord Jesus, to magnify and edify who you are, Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the praise reports. We thank you for the good reports that are coming, Heavenly Father. Lord God, we ask, would you bless this week, Heavenly Father, a week that is very anointed, a week that is very successful and favorable and glorified unto you, Heavenly Father. We ask in the name of Jesus, would you bless this particular ministry at this particular time to be something that you're pleased with and something that is acceptable in your sight. We thank you for each guest who comes on the ministry. We thank you for their gifts, Lord. We ask that you continue to build upon their gifts where they will be productive and they will be able to continue to let their light shine that you have given unto them. Lord God, we ask in the name of Jesus, would you bless those who are on the ministry who are not feeling well, would you bless those who are feeling well, and would you continue to keep us in your care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And so as we prepare to meet Ms. Julian Bullock, she's supposed to call in about 2 minutes. I want to let you know that after we finish interviewing Ms. Bullock, we are going to actually write belief statements about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Excuse me. Because God is getting ready to do some great and wonderful things in our lives. And we must understand and recognize that we have to believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There are many people who want to come out of the storms of life. There are many people who want to be healed. There are many people who want to be delivered. And many people who want to be set free. And so on today, we're going to speak about, after we speak to Ms. Bullock, we're going to speak about our belief statements. What do we believe God? Who is God? What do we believe about God? And when we write these different belief statements, these statements are what we believe that God can do, which is everything. So whatever it is that you need God to do, we're going to say, I believe. And then on tomorrow, gospel, when we come back and speak about our needs and wants, then it will be very easy to write our needs and all of our wants. Okay? So while we wait on our guests, I want you to know that Ms. Julian Bullock is from Philadelphia. She She was born to the parents of Janet Taylor and Robert Bullock. And Robert Bullock was an artist, and her mother was a model. Mr. Robert Bullock served in the Navy, and Julian was only 2 years old when her mother and father divorced. And she, throughout her life, she was able to become a full-time reporter at a newspaper while she was in college. And she was able to graduate with her bachelor's degree in communications, which is very important in the entertainment world and in any type of just job that you have. And she had a heavy concentration on journalism and film production. And then after her graduation, she moved from journalism to film. And when she moved into film, she had the opportunity to work with individuals such as Spike Lee. And many of you know Spike Lee. He's one of the greatest, I mean, entertainers there is, in the movie Malcolm X. So this should be interesting. Basically, in her bio, Jillian said that she loved the process of filmmaking so much that she worked on her own movies. So she went from being in the studio and serving as an intern to creating her own movies, such as Spirit and A Filmmaker's Personal Journey. And then, you know, just from there, she began to just receive many accolades and many rewards. And so she is a screenwriter. She's a director. She's a producer. She's an actress. She's a choreographer. She is the author of fitness books, and she's just a phenomenal, phenomenal person. And she was on, and I think she was cut off, so we are going to give her time to log back on as I continue with her bio. She sold 2 scripts in her career so far, which is excellent. That's something that I was working on. And her 2 scripts, one of them was The Champion Inside, and the other one was entitled Scar Across My Heart. So without further ado, I want to introduce to some and present to others Mrs. Julian Bullock. Ms. Bullock, are you on the line?
Hi, here I am, Julian Bullock.
Yay, okay. Great. Thank you for joining me today.
No problem. Great. Thank you for having me.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All right. Ms. Bullock, do you mind if I ask you a few questions about your career?
Oh, go right ahead.
All right. Please tell us a little bit about yourself.
Let me see. I grew up in Philadelphia. All my life I've been in Philadelphia, born and raised. I grew up with my mother, my brother, my sister. I'm African-American, but the interesting thing is that I grew up with a white stepfather who was actually in Italian mafia. So that was actually interesting, between the 60s and 70s, to grow up with a white guy, period, as a stepfather, but then he's in the mob. That was a whole big other thing.
Right.
So I grew up with him and my mother, and, you know, that's how I was raised since from 2 on up to around 15. That's when he passed away, when I was around 15. And my mother remarried another guy. And the guy she remarried wasn't a good guy, neither was the mob guy wasn't either, but this guy, my second stepfather, used to beat my mother a lot. So that was my first experience with domestic violence and seeing that. So eventually my stepfather and I couldn't get along. My second stepfather couldn't get along. When he tried to beat up my mother one day, I stepped in to try to help my mother, and I was involved in martial arts at that time, so I used martial arts to defend her and end up breaking his nose, but my mother sided against me, against my stepfather, and she kicked me out of the house. So at 15, I was homeless on the streets, and I did a lot of different things to have to survive. I got involved with criminal activity, prostitution. I got addicted to drugs and everything. And I was on the streets for like a year until I got pregnant. And to give my child, I didn't, boy or girl, a better life, I said I have to get off the streets. Come get clean and go back to school. So that's what I did. I struggled, you know, to kick drugs, stay clean, had my son, and then I went back to school. And then eventually I graduated high school around 20, and then I went on to college. So when I made, you know, I went to LaSalle University, and actually when I was at LaSalle, I worked at the Wall Street Journal as a reporter. So I'm trying to raise my child and go to school. You know, work at the Wall Street Journal. It was a lot, but I was able to to do it because I had to do better for him. That was my main goal.
Wow, what an amazing story. And isn't God good? I mean,
God is good.
Yes, he was able to do all of that. And, I mean, that is just excellent. Amen. Okay. Now, can you tell listeners how you were introduced to entertainment and who really mentored you?
Well, it was, like I said, I was a reporter for the Wall Street Journal. And, as you know, I did different stories as I was learning. I was an intern at first before I became a full-fledged reporter. And while I was an intern, I was happened to meet Sylvester Stallone. He was in town doing, I think at that time he was doing like Rocky III. I had to do an interview. And I think he was the main one that started my interest in film because he didn't talk to me just as a reporter. He saw that I was a young person who was trying to, you know, have some direction as far as which way I wanted to go. Did I want to stay in journalism or did I want to go into movies? So he talked to me a lot about, you know, how he got started and his rough start, of course, trying to get Rocky made and everything. And it just something clicked with me, and I just followed that path. So from there I went on and I graduated from college and I got an internship with Malcolm X, on Spike Lee's film Malcolm X. And that's my first time being on a set, and that was an interesting experience as well. You see what you should do, what you shouldn't do as a director, as a filmmaker. And just from there I just started working on, you know, my little projects and other people's projects, trying to learn more about the business.
Wow. Now tell me, what's one thing you should do as a film director and one thing you shouldn't do? I'm taking notes here.
Okay, one thing you should do, feed your people.
Uh-huh.
You must feed your crew and cast. That is absolutely a necessity. You might not pay them well when you first start now because you don't have a big budget. You have to put money in. There's nothing worse than not your crew or your actors not eating well, because then they're cranky and they're moody and they don't work well. They don't work together well. I found that out a few times. So that's definitely, you should put in a lot of, put your budget in that food, you know, and not like cold cuts either. Like feed them. They appreciate it. And they'll work harder. Trust me. Their energy's up. They're happy. That's good. So that's one thing you must do. What you should not do, one of the things I saw, what you should not do is that you should not ignore the lowest people on your crew. Like, you might have an intern, you might have a production assistant. You should know their names as much as you should know the stars' names of your films. They're just as important. So everybody, if you're a director, you should know everybody's name on that set, because that shows that you care about them, and you should care. I worked on some projects that the director, because I was, you know, new to the business, I was a PA or an intern or something, and they called me through the whole production, hey you, come here, hey you. That's the worst thing you could do, other than not feeding your crew.
Right. Good, okay. Now, I'm really interested in this Wall Street Journal. So can you tell listeners how you were able to nab an intern at the Wall Street Journal and what impact it has on your career?
I never thought I would get that. I had sent out, when I came back to Philadelphia and I got off drugs and I was in my senior year of high school, I just sent out a letter to all the newspapers in Philadelphia asking for an internship because I said, okay, I want to do journalism. And I know you needed an internship. So I said, I sent out, everybody turned me down. I sent my resume out and my a letter out to like 12 different newspapers. Everyone said no. They rejected me because I didn't have experience, everything. But the bureau chief of the Wall Street Journal, we had a Philadelphia branch in that time, back in the late 80s, and his name was Frank Allen. He wrote me back. He not only wrote me back, he said he would be interested in giving me an internship. Well, I went in for an interview, and the letter that I wrote him, this is a learning experience, the letter that I wrote him, he had marked up with red ink. That's what journalists do when your paper is so bad. They use a red marker to write up all the errors in your paper. So I didn't understand why he was giving me an internship if my English was that bad, which he said it was. But he said he could see something in my letter. He said, you have tenacity. I told him my whole story. And he said, you know, you're willing to work hard. I'm willing to give you opportunity. So let's get started. So he groomed me. He was definitely my mentor. He groomed me on how to speak well, how to dress properly for business, how to do interviews, how to, of course, write well as a journalist, how to ask questions. And it took me about 3 years before I was able to write my first article because he had to groom me because I was nowhere near the caliber of a Wall Street Journal reporter, nowhere near. So he basically had to start from scratch with me and then take time and patience to teach me and work with me. So, yeah, that was that. And then from that I learned how to go out and do interviews with Sylvester Stallone. I mean, I interviewed everybody from Donald Trump to Sylvester Stallone to, you know, a lot of different people. And it shaped me as a person, and it also shaped me as a reporter because here I am coming from the streets. I knew my past, and I said, here I am at the Wall Street Journal. And it was definitely eye-opening.
Wow, that's good. Now, you said that you had the opportunity to work on the set with Malcolm X and Spike Lee. How was that experience? Excuse me, with the movie Malcolm X, correct? And you was working with Spike Lee.
Okay, it was interesting. That's all I say on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It wasn't one of my best experiences, but again, I learned a lot of things I should not do as a director. So I'll leave it at that.
Okay. That's a good way to put it. All righty. What process do you take in creating your own movies, and what gave you that vision?
The process for, well, I'm a writer, and I've been writing. You know, when I was younger, I loved to read books and I loved to write short stories. I won a lot of, you know, little essay contests and poetry contests growing up. And I always knew I had a niche to create. And I said I just would like to share different stories with people. I usually write stories that deal with the underdog because that's what I was. I was the underdog. And a lot of people are the underdog. And I said I would write for those people. And I always try to have a triumphant ending in my writing. It doesn't always work that way, but I try to make that happen. So, yeah, my scripts are usually very honest and very, they can be very raw, very brutal in some sense because that's life. But then I try to have an aspect of how people hold on to faith and how they yearn for forgiveness and redemption, and they try to make a change, a transformation by the end of the story. So that's why whether I put a character as a drug addict or whether I have somebody who's homeless or whether I have somebody who's, have lost a child and then they turn to, you know, drugs or something because they can't stand the pain of having lost a child. That's something we all go through, different type of things we all go through in life, and they are the stories that I want to tell. Like I'm doing working on a film right now. A Sense of Purpose that deals with Vietnam veterans that deal with post-traumatic stress disorder. It's a feature film, but I still have an educational component to it as well as an entertaining component because, again, I was in the Army. I never dealt with post-traumatic stress disorder, thank God, but I know a lot of people who have, and it's hard when they come home. They assimilate back into society. You know, it's difficult for a lot of men and women. So I'm trying to bring that out more to people so they can understand their stories.
Amen. So you was in the Army as well, right?
Right, yes.
So was I. All right, good job. All right. Okay. What are some of your long-term goals for the entertainment business?
Long-term goals, I would love to set up a studio in Philadelphia. That's my ultimate goal. Like, you know, Tyler Perry has his studio in Atlanta, and then, you know, of course, Oprah has her own, you know, TV station and production station. Mine is to have a major film production company in Philadelphia. That's my ultimate goal.
Okay, great. Tell us a little bit about your writing, Here I Stand. What should readers get out of this reading?
Well, that's my memoir about, like I said, growing up with my Italian stepfather and being on the street and homeless and everything. So, you know, it's a story, again, like I was saying, of going through a lot of hardships, like being knocked down to the bottom, the depths of hell, I say, and then pulling yourself back up by your bootstraps. a lot of crying, a lot of prayer, a lot of, you know, how am I going to get through this, Lord, you know, that kind of feeling until you make the changes that are necessary to become a better person. You know, I didn't want to have my son grow up with a drug addict or be put into the system because I was a horrible mother taken away from me. So I had to get my act together. And the only way I knew how to do that was to get off the drugs and go to school and gain an education so I could provide for him. So people, I think, I hope, will find it's a story that, you know, no matter what you're going through in your life, you definitely can overcome it and you can, you know, succeed. And now I look back on those experiences, and they were, to me, learning, you know, stepping stones of how I could learn to be a better person, how I can have more compassion for others when I go out to speak to others. I don't look down on people because I've been there, you know, and I understand that, you know, things happen in your life that might put you in a certain situation that you might do something that you thought you would never have to do. But that's life. That's being real. So I hope people understand that if they when they read my book.
That's great. That's great. Okay. Now you have another book entitled Fitness Between the Sheets. Tell us a little bit about that book.
Well, Fitness Between the Sheets is coming out in 2016. It's a book that I put two components together.
Uh-huh.
My past, obviously being in the world of prostitution, I obviously engaged in a lot of sexual acts, we know that. But also I'm a fitness expert, so I teach fitness classes, I teach self-defense to women, so I try to combine the two. I said, well, if you want to be great sexually, a lot of people aren't because they're just not physically fit. So I combined the two. So what the book is going to be about, yeah, that's the problem
wow.
normally.
Okay.
So the book is going to have different sexual positions, and then it's going to have fitness positions that you exercise that you can do so you can do those sexual positions. And it's for couples because I want them to have a better sex life. I mean, you're married, you should have a good sex life. You're going to be together for forever and hopefully, and you don't want to be cheating on each other. So listen, you need to concentrate on each other. And the way to do that is to be healthy, fit. And to do that, you know, you have to have the nutrition component in there. You have to have the exercise component. You have to have the spiritual component. So, you know, I talk a lot about meditation and yoga, which also helps with your flexibility and balance. So it's all, you know, together with the sexual act so couples can have a more and they're healthier, especially as you grow older. You want to be healthier and don't want to have to rely on pills or anything, Viagra or anything to keep you going. You should be able to do that naturally, and you can do that through certain foods you eat, eliminating bad habits like smoking or drinking too much, and doing, like I said, the yoga, which helps meditate your mind, helps your body to be more flexible, and then, of course, certain exercises. So put it all together.
Wow, you're very creative. Okay. Is there anything else you would like to share?
No, I think I shared a lot. I gave a lot of people information. They're probably, like, overwhelmed. They're like, what? Okay.
No,
I think that's enough. I just want people to soak that in, soak it all in.
Okay. Now, what is your website login as far as how to get to your website? And tell us a little bit about what we will find on your website because you have a very nice website.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, JillianBullockWriter.com. You're talking about my film site, right? Because I have two.
Yes,
so.
Ma'am.
Okay, your film, my film site. JillianBullockWriter.com basically has this information about myself and the projects that I'm working on. And like I said, the one I'm working on now is A Sense of Purpose. That's the one that deals with the military. And then, you know, films I have in development. And, of course, my book, Fitness Between the Sheets. It tells more about all those different projects. So if people want to go on there and see what's going on, they can. And they also might want to check back periodically because we're going to have a listing up of casting calls for roles that we need for the film, A Sense of Purpose. So we'll be having a casting call around April. So if anybody's in the Philadelphia area, they might want to come out.
Okay. Now let me ask you this. So are these films hitting the big screen, or are these films that you're just putting together and they're independent films?
Well, I'm making it. I'm doing in this film that I'm doing now is independent, but we are going to be having a major distributor to distribute. We're actually a couple of major distributors have already been talking to me about. It's not even done yet. I didn't start filming yet, but I've already got a couple of people who are interested in putting it on the big screen. So I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Now let me ask you this, because we still have some time here. Now, you were able to, I saw in your bio that you were able to sell two of your scripts. Is that true?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Did I read? Okay. So in doing that, because a lot of people are interested in selling their screenplays, I know I was kind of interested in that as well. So what is the process for that?
First process, write a good script.
Right.
I know that might sound crazy, but trust me, you know, I am a I'm a screenwriting judge for the Greater Philadelphia Film Office. Each year we have they have a screenwriting contest called Set in Philadelphia, and I'm one of the judges. I've been a judge since 2006. So my job, obviously, is to look at these scripts and help pick a winner. It's me and four of the judges. We pick a winner. And I tell you, the scripts that sometimes come through there, I'm like, well, somebody didn't do their homework. So that would be the first thing. You must study your craft. If you want to be a screenwriter, you have to study your craft. You can't just say, okay, this looks easy. I can just put some words together. And it doesn't work that way, because you're not going to be successful. So I would suggest to people to study, first of all, how to format scripts, then what goes into writing a great script. And after that, when you get to that process, you know, you let other people in the industry read it and give you coverage. It's called coverage. And it's like me. I would cover your script. I would read and I would tell you what's wrong with it, what's right with it, what you need to fix with it. So that's coverage is. And then you start putting it out there. You can put it out the screenwriting contest, or you can try to get an agent who will shop your script to different producers. Or like me, I just met in circles. I met people going to different events. And you have to give your pitch. You give a 30-second pitch of what your script is about. If they like it, they ask you to send it to them. And that happened to me on two occasions, and I sold them.
That's good. Mm-hmm. And tell us about, if you don't mind, if you have time, those two scripts that you sold. What was the gist of your two scripts?
Well, the Champion Side was about a female boxer who had to overcome cancer. She had cancer, breast cancer, and she couldn't fight for a while. She was out for like 5 years. It's her struggle to overcome not only having her breast removed, but also trying to figure a way how to get back into the ring and become champion again. So she had a mental, emotional, and a physical hurdles to overcome to get back to the top. So the second one, A Scar Across My Heart, was about a psychologist who was a drug addict, and he actually lost his license because he got caught doing drugs, and he lost his license, and he was actually sent to prison. And while he was in prison, he befriended a young guy who was about 18 years old, and he was headed toward a life of crime, career crime. So when the psychologist got out of prison and the young man got out of prison, the psychologist helped that young man. Even though he wasn't a psychologist anymore, he helped mentor that young man to go on to keep his life clean. He went on to college, and he went on to do great things with his life.
Wow. Now, someone just texted me a question to ask you. The first thing is, individuals are asking, are you able to read scripts? Do you have a business in which you read scripts from other individuals?
Yes, I do. I mean, I have a service that I read scripts as a coverage, but it has to be copywritten first or registered with the Writers Guild of America in order for me to read it, and then I have to send you a release form before. So
okay.
That way you won't sue me for, you know, anything.
Okay. And then the other question.
That's standard in the business, though. That's standard.
Okay. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're asking, can they look on the website and get like a estimate of how much it would cost them?
No, I don't put my fees on there. So they would have to just contact me, and then we would converse back and forth, and because everybody's different.
Okay.
You know, I have a sliding scale.
You via Facebook or email?
No, you have to go on my website and email me from my website.
Okay.
Yeah, my website's on there. The email address is on there, so they can just email me.
Okay. And then one last question.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give an example of a pitch? For instance, if you was pitching one of your stories that you, what did they put? One of the stories that you sold, how would you pitch it?
Well, the one I would pitch is Here I Stand, because I have to go to California next week actually to pitch that by my life story. And you just say, this is what you want to do with a pitch. Let me set it up first. When you write a pitch, you want to have the protagonist, which is your main character, and you have her first or him, and you have to have something that they have to overcome in order to get to their goal. Right. Like, okay, good one would be this. If you were doing like something like I'm trying to make something that everybody knows. Okay, like if you're doing something like Castaway with Tom Hanks.
Yes.
Well, the story was of him, protagonist, has to learn how to, after he becomes shipwrecked, he must fight his way off the island in order to get back to his true love, which was Helen Hunt. That's it right there. That's your pitch.
Wow. So it doesn't have to be, because I've pitched just for practice when I went to Hollywood, and so it doesn't have to be anything elaborate because it's 30 seconds. And so basically the question is, what can I say in 30 seconds to get this person to really be interested?
Well, like I said, you have to pinpoint it. You have to have your protagonist. Like I said, that was Tom Cruise. That's Tom Hanks' character. He was the protagonist. He becomes shipwrecked, so something has to happen. He became shipwrecked. He has to fight, so you have to make him have to do something. He has to fight to get off the island in order to have a goal, which was to get back to his true love, which was Helen Hunt, which he does. That's it.
Right.
You don't have to. It doesn't have to be all elaborate, because you say too much, you mess it up.
Okay, that's good.
And that's the way that pitch was, and that pitch sold.
Okay.
And you want to make something very clean and straightforward.
Okay. And then someone typed in, okay, how do you tap in or connect with these individuals to sell your scripts? And like you said, contests, correct?
Yeah, you want to do contests. You want to go to different pitch sessions. I mean, there are pitch sessions usually all over the country. So you might find one in your city, and you go, but you really have to be up on your pitching. So, again, it comes with either taking a workshop to learn how to pitch properly or study YouTube videos. There's so much out there, so there's no excuse for you not to be able to learn how to do it, because it's out there, and a lot of it's free. YouTube is free.
Right.
And then you just learn how to pitch. They call it an elevator pitch. So, basically, they're saying you should be able to pitch your story ideal from the time you – get on the first floor elevator to up to your floor. You should be able to pitch, and you want them to be able to say something back to you. So you want them to be able to say, wow, that sounds interesting. Send it to me. That's what you want by the time you get off the elevator.
Okay, and this is my question. This is the last one.
Okay, sure.
So who taught you the great pitching skills, or you just was able to pick up on it from feedback?
Oh, no. Did a lot of workshops. went to a lot of different workshops, did a lot of studying, And till I could perfect it, till I could pitch, and I teach people how to pitch, and just like writing, the same thing. I went to school for it, and of course I still keep it up. I still take courses now, even though I have sold 2 scripts, and even though I have stuff produced, I still keep up with it, because you can always learn. You always have to be on your game so you can learn new things constantly. I read scripts. I read 100 scripts a year, because you have to read other people's scripts, good and bad, so you know what you need to do and what you shouldn't be doing. You have to watch a lot of movies. I read 100 scripts a year. I watch 100 movies a year. And you're looking at it not for fun. You're looking at it to study. You're studying the music, how they act, how the set design is, what the wardrobe is. You're looking at everything, the cinematography. You have to do everything, because it's part of your job as a screenwriter or as a director.
That's right. And see, even with entertainment, with radio and, interviewing everyone, I always, look at, when I go to different events, how other people are interviewing, and I take notes on the great interviews and things of that nature. So you're right. Mm-hmm. It takes practice on your part, and also attending workshops.
Yes.
Exactly right.
That's my, I mean, like I said, people who might not have the money to afford workshops, then, like I said, there's a lot of different things on YouTube on, you know, that you can do until you can afford the money to go to a workshop. So
that's right.
Still you can learn.
That's right. That's right. Well, Ms. Bullock, I really appreciate you coming
no
on the
problem.
Ministry. I know your schedule is hectic, and please stay
yes,
in touch
is.
With me.
Okay, that'd be great. I appreciate that.
All right, and you take care.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Ms. Julian Bullock, and she was telling us about writing scripts and also practicing pitches. So make sure that you listen to this particular segment again, especially if you're interested in writing or pitching your script. Now, I'm getting ready to go back into the writing and big screen things. And if you want to submit a screenplay to Hollywood, I need for you to email me because I have information. And so be sure to email me, emonyaunderscorelove@yahoo.com. I just received an email from a screenwriter showcase in Hollywood at 5:16 p.m., and this particular screenwriter showcase is seeking scripts. So if you're interested, email me, emonyaunderscorelove@yahoo.com. Also, make sure you tap in with Ms. Julian Bullock. She said that she will reach your scripts for a service fee, and so please be sure to tap in with her. She sold two of her scripts before, all right? So please be sure to do that. Okay, we're getting ready to move into our second segment of I Believe God. I Believe God. And in this particular segment, we're going to focus on what do we believe God can do in our lives. And I actually believe that God can do everything. I believe that God can do anything. And so we're going to write what we believe as far as what we believe God can do. And that's everything. So everything that you write, obviously you believe that God can do it, and so do I. And so we have to formulate your mind as you come on this particular ministry to understand and recognize that God can do anything. Just for instance, for right now, I'm not feeling well, all right? Allergies, things of that nature, headaches. But I believe that God can heal you or me if we don't feel well. I believe that. And so that will be one of my belief statements. I believe that. I believe that God can make my head stop hurting. I believe that God can ward off these allergies that I'm having. Okay? So write your belief statements, and then we're going to come back with some encouraging words, and then I'm going to give you an announcement, and then I'm going to bid you good night. Okay? And I might put on some music as well. But go ahead and start writing your belief statements on what you believe about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because God is good, amen, and he's worthy to be praised. So your belief statements are what you believe God can do. It's what you need and what you want, but you're saying, I believe. We already accept them. Before we even ask God tomorrow, God's will, we already believe, amen? Okay. Amen. That was I love you, Lord, today. There is none like you. And I already feel better because I believe God can and I believe that God will. Amen. We're ready for the praise reports from God, the good reports from God. Amen. We're ready for favor, grace, and mercy. We're ready for everlasting love from God. Amen. Praise God. I have a few announcements to make. Be sure to continue to uplift your family and your friends by asking them, telling them to log on to blogtalkradio.com/freetolove. That's blogtalkradio.com/FREDALOVE. Or they can connect with me on the AlfredaLoveShow.com. You can connect with me there as well. Gospel artists, promoters, writers, actors, actress, anyone with a positive message, please, Facebook, Alfreda Love, that is AlfredaLove, or FREDALOVE, or you can email me at emonya_love@yahoo.com. I would love to have you on the ministry. Be sure that you continue to pray for all of your family members. If you have to pray for all your family members, put them all in one line and pray for them one by one. Do not forget to pray for yourself. Pray for those you know and those you do not know. It's very important. The prayer of the righteous avails much. Amen. Be sure to look at December 18th. God is going to do some great things on December 18th. Amen. God is going to do some wonderful things on December 18th. Matter of fact, we're going to kick off the week, and God is going to do some great things. He's going to heal some people. He's going to deliver some people. He's going to set some people free. You know why? It's not because it's the week of December 18th, but it's because Jesus Christ was born on the 25th, which is a week later. Amen. Whether you believe it or not, Jesus Christ was born a week after the 25th. So anytime that we're up before the birth of Jesus Christ, nothing but good things can happen. This month is very special, not because of the talent show, not because it's Alfreda Love's birthday, not because of what you believe that you're going to get for Christmas, or not because of who you're going to connect with, who you're going to see. It's because of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This month is very special to me, not because of my birthday, but because of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ's birthday is a week, the exact day after mine. Praise God. So it's going to be okay this week. You know, it's been a very trying time last week, amen, because people were ill and sick and things of that nature. But God says that the praise reports are going to be great. Amen. He says, go to sleep tonight. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough troubles of its own. But God says that the sun is going to shine, amen, before his birthday next week. Praise God. And I'm so excited. And I already feel better because I believe, and you should believe too, that God can do everything. God can turn the tables. God can turn situations. God can heal. God can deliver. He can set free. God can do it. And we may be a little bit under the weather because I am, but God says it's going to be all right. Amen. He says, why? Because the sun is coming. And see what happens when the rain begins to come, and God says this is spiritually as well. He says people, they go through storms and they become sick. He says, and people go through many different things. He says, but the sun has to shine. Amen. And so if I recall right, the Lord had already spoke this to me a couple of weeks ago, that the sun was going to shine. Amen. And so the sun is going to shine. It can't be cold always. Amen. Amen. So praise God. God is going to do some great things this week. Expect it and know it. God is going to do some great things this week. Expect it and know it. Amen. The headaches that we're experiencing right now, God says those are going to go away. The heartaches we're experiencing right now, God says those are going to go away. Expect great things from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because he is going to do it. Amen. Not because of the 18th of December, which is the best talent show on earth that's coming to Bellmead, Texas. Not because of that. Not because of the success of the talent show, but because a week, exactly a week after the 18th, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was born. It'll be his birthday. So all this week I'm celebrating our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's birthday. Amen. And I'm going to celebrate mine too. Is that all right? Amen. I already feel better. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. But be sure to mark your calendars for December the 18th. I thank all of you. We have many tickets to go today. Amen. You don't want to miss this talent show. I'm telling you, it's going to be a fun talent show. Every contestant is going to receive something, because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gives gifts to every person, and it's not a but it is a way to magnify our Lord. And it doesn't matter how you come on stage. The Lord has given you that talent. Utilize that particular talent. I want you to know that our host will have an act, and also Celebrity Nanny also known as Bug's grandmother. Yes, also known as Bug's grandmother, will be in the house. Amen. And we were invited to a couple of other events. But we're going to be in the house. We're going to take pictures because I want all of my media friends to see this. And I had some individuals ask, you know, we're looking for individuals for certain things. And so I use the shows and I use different events that I have in order to showcase individuals in case those in the market, like we were just talking about, want to maybe, you know, gain interest and also just to have fun and just for you to use the gifts that God has given you. Amen. So we're going to have a fun time in the Lord. We're going to have light snacks. And we're going to have a designated time for that. And it's just going to be a fun, fun time in the Lord. We want everyone to come out and enjoy. We have a few tickets left. I believe we have 16 tickets left. So please come out, enjoy yourself, and just have a great time. We're going to have many, many guests. We're featuring guest judge Sister Eddie Ruth Bradford, and we're going to feature some more individuals. So please, please, please come out. I hope you enjoyed this particular ministry. I know you did because you learned a lot from Ms. Julian Bullock. As I said before, I am getting ready to get back into the entertainment field as far as writing scripts, as far as events and things of that nature as the Lord has given me. Because some amazing people from the entertainment field, they want to come and they want to see what the city is all about because we interact at different events. And we showcase different people. And so this ministry is not about showcasing what I do. It's about showcasing other people and magnifying our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we're getting ready to launch many radio interviews. We've had a couple of people who've asked, and some of them are interested in the celeb character, the nanny character, and others are interested in the radio, and others are interested in some of the guests who actually come upon the ministry. So be sure to look out for that and be sure to look out for the dates. I want to thank personally the Gibsons at 94.5 for having me on to publicize this particular talent show. I really appreciate that opportunity, 94.5, and I was with the Gibsons, the Hour of Power, and so I really appreciate that. Amen. And so I have a few more radio interviews, and I will let you know when those will be and where those particular interviews will be. In addition to that, be sure to look out for these web pages at freedomlovepages.com. And these particular pages highlights different articles that was written. I haven't written an article in about a month or so, a little bit over a month. I haven't written an article. 3 months, wow. But I am. Amen. I am. I really am. In addition to that, make sure you go to the AfridaLoveShow.com. That's AfridaLoveShow.com. Make sure you go there. Of course, I have many new people, so I want to explain this particular website. If you go to the home page, of course, you will see the number one gospel show in my house. Amen. The Love Live Jesus Ministry. If you need a speaker, whoop, here I am. If you want to also go straight to the radio station, there is Love Radio right there. The Big Talent Show, December 18th at 6 o'clock p.m., Bellmead Civic Center. Please be sure to come out. Please be sure to come out. There's a school tutorial site. There's Love's interview with the Hispanic Chamber. Thank you so much. Radio Station Spiritual Guide, that is the book that I've written. Big Talent Show, right here. If you click on that page, Friday, December 18th, 2015, a lot of things are going to happen great this week, I'm telling you. A lot of great things. Not because of the success of the talent show, not because of the guests that we're going to have, not because of the people who's coming, not because of any of that. It's because God's birthday is exactly a week. I'm going to reiterate after that day. Amen? Amen. This is December the 18th, 2015, the Bellmead Civic Center, 6 p.m. Be sure to come out. Amen? We want to congratulate, before we go on, our La Vega Pirates, our football team, Bellmead, Texas, once again. They are playing for the state championship on December the 18th in Big Houston, Texas. If you are in Houston, all of my media friends, all of the artists, all of my friends, if you're in Houston, Texas, be sure to go out and support La Vega I was about to say La Vega Elementary. Amen. Praise God. Support them too. But support the La Vega High School football team, amen, by going out, watching them receive another victory. It would be great if they would win on my birthday. I would love that. That would be very memorable. Amen. So after you leave the football game, then I need for you to drive back, celebrate, drive back, and make it to the talent show at the Bellmead Civic Center. You have plenty of time because I believe the team plays at 12. I'm not sure. In Houston, Texas. Amen. Now, if you're still on the website about the venue, this is an international radio station because it's online, of course. So many people listen to this radio station. We love to cover events. We love to conduct interviews and things of that nature. Okay? Don't forget about the talent show at the Bellmead Civic Center. Location and contact, once again, the contact, if you want to send me an email, send a comment or review, right there, there's your name, email, subject, and message, and I will receive it. Excuse me, my allergies, woo. All right, please continue to support your gospel artists in the industry. Here are just some, a handful of gospel artists. Please be sure to support those gospel artists. Here are some links. I have a lot of new connects, and I would like to highlight those new connects. One connection that I have is Dr. Cindy Trim. She is one of the most highly regarded ministers, pastors, evangelists, prophetess there is. So I'm very honored to have her as one of my business individuals on LinkedIn. Amen. Health and human performance. We have to be healthy. Amen. And we have to watch what we eat. God is good. He's going to give good reports this week. So get ready, get ready, get ready to receive your good report. Let us all get ready. Amen. Speaking topics. What do we speak on? We speak on many different things. Schools, health, leadership, and religion. We speak on many different things. Love's Art the Corner. If you're an author, please, please, please submit your book to emonya_love@yahoo.com. I need to add a couple of more authors. I would love to add your book to this particular library. Here are some consultants. And then A Spiritual Guide by Dr. Africa Love. If you want your spiritual guide, just click on that button. Whoop, there it is. Amen. Amen. I'm going to get ready to conclude this particular ministry. Be sure to come back on tomorrow as we will discuss our needs and wants. So be sure to come back on tomorrow, and it will be late tomorrow night, probably around 10. We have practice tomorrow. For those of you who are in the talent show, we have practice tomorrow from 5 to 6:45. If you want to stop by and check your music, I will be there from 5 to 6:45. We cannot stay past 6:45, so please come from 5 to 6:45 so you can check your music. As I said before, make sure you have someone who can start and stop your music. If you are singing, make sure that you have someone who can play for you and also have them bring their keyboard and things of that nature. Okay? So once again, if someone asks you what that big, beautiful smile is all about, you tell them that love lifted you up because God is love. And until next time, which is tomorrow, take care of yourselves and each other. This is your host, Dr. Alfreda Love.
Oh, yeah. You have been tuned in to the finest talk show ministry on the internet. The Love Lift Up Jesus Ministry. Featuring your host, Dr. Alfreda Love. Reminding you to be diligent in your prayers as you pray for someone this week. We say goodbye as we depart from the airwaves, but reminding you that we never, ever depart from the presence of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is His Word. And on that, you can depend. Always remember that Jesus Christ has your back. And there ain't nothing the devil can do about it. Hallelujah. We give you praise, Jesus.